Get ready for Brexit on the 31st of October. Find out what you need to do to prepare at gov.uk/Brexit.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. The Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hot dang! It's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallantainment.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. Hava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
He makes us squee, it's Richie D.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Ashley Schiavone, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch. Higher than high res, it's Lauren Perez.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews sisters.
Lulu Simon, Sue Studio.
Give 'em hell, Miss Noel. Kelly Stump, the Stump Master.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Be Your Mosta with Tina L. Costa.
No one can do it like Andrea Jewett.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Nancy Cease and Desisto. We love you guys. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Olde Bronx. I'm Ronnie Karam. As usual, go find me over on the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast, which is almost done for the season. And here I am with my little bestie and internet partner, Mr. Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewives Kitchen Island. Okay, it's a cartoon on YouTube about kitchen utensils being real housewives. Whoa!
Hi, and in honor of today, when we're talking about Real Housewives of Dallas, I wore my Roundup t-shirt.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know the boys that did it. I'm in my uniform white t-shirt that I'm wearing now in every video because it's just easier to have 20 white t-shirts.
You know? Like Michael Kors.
Yeah, but white. So, yeah. Everybody, hi, welcome to the show. This is another Crappens On Demand video. So if you guys want to watch us instead of just listen to us, you know, get a boner, go check us out on Patreon and you will find the videos there under that level. We also just recorded our bonus episode for the week. Mostly we just talked about road rage and car shaming people. But at the very end, we talked a little bit about Flipping X's, the show on Bravo about flipping. And we are going to be, in a couple of weeks, we're going to Charlotte and Nashville on September 26th and 27th. So we're excited to see you guys there. Low ticket alert in Nashville, so get those. And Charlotte still has, that's a huge ass theater, so get your butts over there. And then here's a list of our shows for the rest of the season. We're going to Atlanta, two shows. One is almost sold out, one still has tickets. Carrboro, Richmond, Tampa, Fort Lauderdale, Indianapolis, Chicago, one is sold out, and one has a low ticket alert. New York, New York, two shows. One has low ticket alert, one sold out. Then St. Louis, Philadelphia, late show still has tickets. Denver, Seattle, Houston, and Columbus.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. It's a lot.
We also have a newsletter that's out that you guys can subscribe to. That's real fun. It's like a little Watch What Crappens magazine that Ben put together. It's really cool. So go sign up at watchwhatcrappens.com. Find ticket links. Thanks for the support, you guys. We love you. Thanks for the Patreon. And that is it for announcements.
That is it. So we are talking Real Housewives of Dallas. And last week, when we recorded our recap, I was in Denver. And I believe I told a story about how I got I rode in an Uber with a crazy Uber driver.
Yeah.
Who was like pitching me, telling me about how he was directing, he was remaking the Matrix movies. Did I tell you that part?
No, you didn't tell me that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell everyone. He's remaking the Matrix, by the way. And when I asked him how he's going to get the rights to that, he said, Warner Brothers doesn't have the rights on the word The Matrix. I was like, okay, good luck with that. Anyway, it was one of the craziest Uber rides I ever had. And then the next day, after I recorded the podcast, I called an Uber and I got him again.
Oh, no.
What are the odds? I canceled. I was like, I can't do it again. I can't. But what are the odds that I would get that same driver a second time? Honestly.
The odds are pretty good when you're living in the Matrix, baby.
You know what? You're right. And you know what? I'm never going to mock his dreams again, ever again.
Yeah. There are days I walk down the street, like I'm walking the dog, and I pass the same, like, crazy little old lady with the cart, and then I'll pass the same, you know, the same kid outside the school, and I'm like, there is something to that, you know?
Yeah.
Where I'm like, this is crazy. What's happening to me?
And, you know, who are we to make fun of a guy for, you know, having very distinct theories about AI and remaking The Matrix when we're sitting here watching three women in Dallas basically put themselves into, like, an electrocuting bodysuit and call that exercise? You know what? The world is crazy, and it's all a matter of perspective.
Well, I'm glad it's not just me, because I have one of those little electrolysis massager things. Like, you put little pads on yourself, and it gives yeah. you electrical pulses, like shocks, and it. Mm-hmm. You can set it all these different ways. I saw it on Facebook, okay, everybody? Yeah. And so I use that, and I'm convinced it's going to make me thin. Like, I put it on my stomach, and I turn it all the way on, and it makes my stomach go like...
Sometimes I'll just take, sometimes I'll just take a toaster, and I will take like those wire things, and I'll peel away the protective coating on the wires and just stick the live wire in my teeth and just live for the thrill of it.
And you're thin. You see, everybody, there's something to all this.
So the episode opens up with Stephanie, Carrie, and Cameron going to this place called 9020. And I'm fairly convinced that Comcast Universal has some stock in this newfangled exercise thing, because it was like an infomercial. They're like, 9020 is this thing where you like get into a bodysuit and you have like a 90-minute workout, but only in 20 minutes because it uses electrolysis. It's a full body thing, and it really works, and it feels great.
And Cameron, like, yeah, and Cameron comes in a pink raincoat, and she's like, girl, you can have a 90-minute workout in 20 minutes? We need that, girl. We are so busy. We are so busy. I'm like, you have like five nannies and no job. What the fuck are you talking about, Cameron?
I'm sorry, but the Global Pet Expo doesn't attend itself. So they get in, and Stephanie explains why she likes this exercise routine. She goes, huh, you know, I can work out in like 20 minutes, which means I have more time to eat.
Which is the only reason I exercise. You know how on My Fitness Pal you count your calories, but then if you exercise, it's like you can have 200 more calories. Like, what the fuck is the point of exercising, you know?
Right.
So they bring Carrie with them, and Carrie has fallen victim to that housewives trope of my vagina still works. You know, we've talked mm-hmm. about that for years and years, and we're used to men doing it all the time because we're men and we see what douchebags they are. But a lot of times new housewives are like, we have so much sex, like Dandra in the first season with Jeremy. You know, it's like, we get it, your vagina still works. You know, that's all she wants to talk about is her vagina. She's like, does this work on my vagina? Oh yes.
Can I put this up my vagina? Can I put up my vagina? Oh, I don't want to have multiple orgasms. Will I have multiple orgasms? Because I have a very active vagina. I don't know what accent I'm doing, but I'm just gonna go with it.
Yeah, congratulations on your vagina. Okay, 50% of us have them. Okay.
Cameron then gives us truly the best anecdote of the season. She goes, actually, the first time I met Carrie was actually at Deandra's house when she invited me over to have a taco salad.
Everything she says makes me laugh.
It's just, I like had to pause the TV and just like laugh for solid 5 minutes. Like, and the thing is,
she just says it so seriously.
Yeah,
was it the taco salad when she invited me over for a taco salad?
It's like the taco salad is really what like stuck in her memory. But I actually think I remember that. Didn't we see a scene last year when Cameron had a taco salad?
Yes, but I don't
salad?
Remember Carrie being there.
I don't remember it either, but it's just funny that like, Cameron just paints pictures, and she paints them with taco salads. I remember
the first time I went to the movies, I was a little girl, and afterwards I had a taco salad.
Every time I see something that looks like a little alien like E.T., I think of taco salad. Just so
what
serious.
What an innovation. It's a salad, and you can eat the bowl. I mean, that's great, and that's something I want to bring to the Global Pet Expo, okay? Edible bowls.
And Cameron's also the first one to be like, I love Carrie, okay? She has absolutely no filter whatsoever, and you never know what's going to come out of her mouth, girl. I'm like, you're the first one to be like, we don't talk like that.
I know. Use your words carefully, yeah. Especially around a taco salad.
Oh, I love her. I'm loving her more this season than ever.
Oh, my God. And she's like, barely been in the show this season. She's been traveling so much, but she comes in for like 1 second and just says some crazy shit. She just says some crazy shit that's like on paper, not crazy. Like on paper. Oh, yeah, I met Carrie because I went over to Deandra's house. We had taco salad. But when she says it, it's like, oh, my God.
That's how she stresses
put
it.
This in the Library of Congress.
And also, she has this way of, like, getting right up to the camera in her diary room. And, like, she tilts her head. And, like, she's too close to the camera. Yeah. And she just keeps moving closer. And it's like she tilts her head and, like, moves just her head.
It's like a zombie. It's like a modern zombie. You know how modern zombies are herky-jerky and fast? That's what she is. Except she doesn't want to eat your brain. She just wants to tell you about taco salads. Yeah. She's like... Her hands are busting through like the wood. Let me tell you about my taco salad. I want you to know about my taco salad that I had.
People are ripping off their own heads to just get away from talking about taco
the
salad.
The walking taco salad.
The walking shred. I know you love little pun, my band. Okay, so
the zombie apocalypse is here, and really the only effect is that taco salad sales have gone through the roof. Everything else is pretty much fine.
Finally, a zombie movie you can eat through.
You know, that's finally the zombie movie I would watch. Ben, it's not scary. It's actually about taco salad. Oh, okay.
It's just an awkwardly tall girl in a pink raincoat trying to get to taco salads.
Doing her thing. I love taco salad. She is a little scary. She is a little up close and personal. It's like she's out of Resident
Evil.
Solid. Resident
Evil. Oh, my God. So they work. They do this workout, and they're like, oh, my God, it's killing me. And so then after, Stephanie's like, are you guys going to DeAndre's roast? And Cameron goes, I'm going to the Global Pet Expo, but I changed my flight to make it to Dandra's party. And they're like, oh my God, that's so nice of you. And I love that she's still dragging out Global Pet Expo.
Yeah, Global Pet Expo is back. Also, Ronnie, you did skip over Cameron's Yelp review of this exercise regimen, which is that, oh my God, I feel it all over. You know, it's like it's stressing out my muscles. You feel like you're climbing a mountain, but guess what?
You're not.
You're still in the city. It's like the twist at the end of your exercise.
She's so adamant about it. She's like, guess what? You're not.
You're not.
You're still in the city.
You're
still in the city.
Guess what? I know since you weren't paying attention, you were thinking about taco salads. You thought that maybe you'd gone running up a mountain by accident. But guess what? You are in the exact same place where you started your workout. Girl.
She is cracking me up.
So. I mean, you know what, Ronnie? I am going to celebrate us because I feel like we were early Cameron Westcott adopters. And I feel like it is just we've invested in her and it is just paying off dividends left and right now.
It really is. And the ratings for this show suck. Where is everybody? I laughed so hard when I watched this show. I was cracking up at her taco salad shit.
The taco
salad. Guess what? You're not. You're still in the city.
this show is so funny. Dom was watching with me and he was laughing out loud during the show, and he hates like all this stuff, you know. And he was laughing out loud.
She is hilarious. So Deandra, another one who cracks me up every fucking time. I really like this whole cast. So Deandra has decided that she wants to have her 50th birthday party be a roast. And then we see a clip because, of course, they're going to get a short season. It's going to be one of those, but it's like New York where they get a short season and they keep showing us clips of what they've already shot because they have to condense it. So we see them at dinner and she's like, well, you know, I really can't get out of town this year because of the business mother. So, you know, and they're like holding her hands. They're like, we want to do something. So she's decided just to have this roast. And Stephanie's like, Dandra doesn't really take people criticizing her or making fun of her too well. I don't think she really knows what a roast is.
Yeah.
I think she thinks it's like a spit roast.
Meanwhile, Carrie has finally joined she's finally put herself into that thing, and she's like, oh, I was hoping this workout would give me orgasm, but instead he's killing me. Got it. Okay, got it. Your vagina works.
So then Brandy's at some bar, and she's like, can I have two skinny margaritas and some nachos? And it turns out she's with Leigh-Ann Loken.
I know. Shocking twist. I mean, we heard that they were in a better place, but they were like chummy. They were having drinks together at the Kung Fu Saloon.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about this.
I'm okay with it, because like I said, if their feud had gone on another season, it would have gotten real old. So, you know,
yeah,
it's weird. It felt weird. It felt weird to watch them be so chummy and happy and like watch them make jokes about gray hairs. But, you know, here's the thing. Here's what I've learned. So they kept on saying the reason why they became friends is that they went to a baby shower in the off season and they just got along so well and they laughed and laughed and laughed. And I was like, you know what? This is real proof that duress bonds people. Okay. Because if you're stuck at a baby shower, truly one of the worst things that like humanity has ever devised. It just shows that's all we had to do is give them hardship and that will bring them together. It's like pledges in a fraternity.
Well, I came to this season like Hillary Clinton with that reset button with Putin. I was like, all right, let's just start over. Okay. So I'm here for it, but I'm cautious. So yeah, they're joking about how Brandy found one gray hair and Leanne's like, bitch, I got a skull strap. And Leanne's doing that thing where she keeps talking over Brandy. Every time Brandy tries to say something, she's like, oh, I know what you mean. And then she just talks over and she's talking really loudly. It's basically like going to lunch with me. And I was like, this won't last long, I don't think. I think Brandy's going to eventually snap.
No, it will definitely not. It definitely will not last. But in the meantime, they're still going to like at least try to like make it seem like it's going to last. Because Leanne says, you know what? I have always had a very soft place for you. It's called my ass. That's where you belong, my ass. Oh, did I say that out loud? I am so sorry. But at least I'm telling you to your face. Friends forever.
And she's doing that thing where she's like giving a testimonial at church. She's like, I have such a soft spot for you. I always have. And Rich said, you know what, Leanne? It is time to invite her to the wedding. It's time. And I thought, Rich! I'm like, Jesus, what are you? You're in a bar. Calm down.
This is why Leanne is great, because she just brings melodrama in ways that other Real Housewives, not going to say their names, but maybe Schmile Schmitchards, that they just don't understand. Like, melodrama. This is what we live for. So Brandy, I thought Brandy was going to get mad, because she's like, well, the way that Leanne said it made it sound sort of like an afterthought. Like, I'm D-list or something, but it's still nice to be thought of. I was like, whoa.
I know. This means Brandy's positioning herself to go after Stephanie. I mean, look, I'm just looking at our old playbook, but we know that doesn't happen because they have a podcast together. I don't know what's going to happen. You know what? I'm so confused. Maybe she I don't was like pre- it.
Maybe she was preparing to go after Carrie Duber, and then instead they did a Carrie switch, and now there's Carrie with a K, and she's like, okay, well, I'll figure this out. I mean, it is kind of funny.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Because Leanne and Deandra, basically their friendship fell apart over the fact that Deandra became friends with Brandy, and now Leanne is friends with Brandy.
And then Brandy went and told Leanne, she went and told all the girls all the stuff Leanne was saying behind their back.
Yeah. Well, that's why I love this show.
Or whatever. So, So then she goes, you know, from now on, I want us to talk with us. You know, I don't want it to be talked about in the group. Now, if someone says, Leanne called you a piece of shit, then I want you to call me and go, bitch, why'd you call me a piece of shit? And I'll go, bitch, because that's the way I don't want all this talking and people influence each other. Who to be friends with? Dandra's a bitch, right? You know, the other day, that was a lie, that apology. you.
So now that we've settled all that, you're going to give me my phone back from Denmark now, right? Because we're friends.
Yeah, so she immediately is like, oh, you don't believe a word of that apology Dandra gave me, do you? Do you?
Yeah, exactly. And, I don't remember what Brandy said to that, but Leanne essentially says that she thinks that the apology was not enough because she's been processing and thinking and she's still hurt. She's still angry. And she feels like she actually deserves more than just that apology. She deserves a bigger and larger apology.
Right. And so she is telling... So she's telling Brandy that Dandra's a bitch because of that. So she's trying to sway Brandy. And then Brandy, in return, says, yeah, well, you know, I thought we used to have these moments where we had so much fun. But I did feel like you were missing that when you were friends with Dandra. And she's like, you are so classically yourselves right now.
Yeah. So Leanne tells us, listen, this is what I need from Dandra. I need her to say, I'm sorry I made up lies about your fiance. I'm sorry I wasn't a good friend and I want to do better. I'm sorry that I stole your Blockbuster card and you were not able to rent all those videos that you had wanted to rent for all those years. And now Blockbuster is closed and I'll never get to rent them. I want an apology for that.
I am sorry that I stole your haircut. I am sorry that my husband is cheating on me, so I had to blame your husband. I am sorry. I was like, you're not going to get all that. You know, you need to shorten your Amazon wish list. You need like three affordable things on there, okay?
Just say, I want a bag of Doritos and some sort of apology for something. So then, things that are like attainable. Okay, yeah. Although honestly, I'm not sure if Doritos are attainable given Deandra's financial state. So, I mean, it's her words. She's like, I cannot go there. I do not have the money anymore. So now we get to see the trolley. And this is exciting because we got to see the trolley from the outside and from the inside and going up the street. It was like a real big trolley moment.
Yeah, they gave us the trolley driver. I mean, thank you, producers.
Yeah,
we love
thank you
guys. We appreciate the shit you're giving us. Thank you.
You know, for a few years, we've had to sit through scenes of Brandy dealing with her children who are just fully out of control, and I've always just been like Brandy, you got to control your children. This is the first time I think I started to feel a little bit bad for Brandy, because now her eldest daughter is really graduating from monster to, you know, a word that no one should ever call a little girl. She is really
a real housewife.
She's a real housewife.
Yeah. She's basically become a Real Housewives trope in a tiny little body. She's like, I don't want to wear that. It's ugly. Bah, you're stupid. Fuck you. Like, she's full on.
Yeah. So basically, Brandy is going to take Brooklyn shopping because she's concerned that since Brandy has been spending a lot of time with Bruin, that Brooklyn has been feeling neglected and is acting out. So Brandy's going to have some like mother-daughter time and, you know, slash bribery time by getting her spoiling her with some clothes and stuff. So they hop into the car and Brandy's like, it's exciting to hang out with you today. Aren't you excited? And she goes, I'm not.
She's like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? That's so rude.
She goes, who said that to be nice? I can have an attitude as long as I want. Now, if you'll excuse me.
She puts in her earphones and like starts playing on her iPad. Listen, you little effer. That's when I grab that iPad and I slam it over your head and I throw you out the window and call CPS, okay?
Yeah.
And blame your father, who's been ignoring my ass, too.
Yeah, that's when I start looking into military school. Like, I don't know. Like, this is no good. Okay, no good. Brandy, I know you don't want to discipline your kids the way you got disciplined, and you don't have to be that extreme. But, like, how about this? Like, do you have an old refrigerator box that you can put them in and, like, duct tape them in for, like, at least 2 hours? Something like that.
Listen, I always say dog crates. They're easy. They're big. You just have to make sure that the animal can actually turn all the way around and reach its water. Okay? It's better than beating them. Try it. Or take her to 90-20.
Yeah. So they...
Shock her ass.
Maybe she just wants a taco salad and hasn't been able to articulate it yet. So the taco salad apocalypse is coming. So they get to the store and Brandy is like, are you feeling a little bit better? Brooklyn goes, that's none of your business, mother!
And she's like, do you think I spend more time with Brinkley and Bruin than I do with you? She goes, I don't really care. She goes, but remember when we used to talk and like I would crawl into bed with you? And she goes, that's disgusting, mother.
Brandy's like, if anything's bothering you, you can always come to me.
Nothing's
bothering me.
He goes, but I feel like you've been very moody lately. You're the one who's moody.
She's like, but I feel like shopping with you is the key to your heart. She goes, no, it's the key to your heart.
Yeah.
I was dying. Dying. And I like that Brandy's like, I was a little bitch, and now my daughter's being a little bitch, and this is total karma, and that is why I've never, ever dreamt of having children. Could you imagine me, the karma that I would have? Oh, my God. Monster. No. Monstrous. So, I'll never do that to the world.
Ultimately, Brandy buys her daughter $729 worth of clothing and toys. And she's like, well, I guess I'm guilty of bribery. I'm like, how do you think you got into this mess in the first place?
Yeah, but, you know, that's probably how you keep a marriage, too. It's like a circle of bribery. You know, Brian, sure. She's let Brian get away with a lot of shit, too. And she has a very nice car and a gorgeous home. So it's like the circle of bribery.
Hot like a solid
Brooklyn starring in The Lion King. She's like, fuck you, you stupid lion! Boom! It's like it ends right in the very beginning.
I don't care about the love tonight.
So then we get silence. But then we see martinis being shaken and swanky music starts playing. And it's date night with Rich and Leanne.
Leanne can't walk in her shoes. If I find the person who made this shoe, I'm going to stick them onto the Trabant and make them go around for 3 hours straight.
Now listen here, Manolo Blahnik. Like that she's like trying to point as much attention as she can down to her red soles. You know, it's like, oh, these shoes, these red soles are painful. Oh, Manolo. Oh.
Oh, Louboutin, why do you torture me so? Now I understand why they're red soles. It's the blood of supermodels' feet, which I guess is in my feet, too.
Yeah, who is the one with the red soles?
Louboutin.
Oh, it's Louboutin. Sorry. Sorry, everybody. Sorry, Manolo.
Manolo Blahnik, I, of course, know mainly because of O.J. Simpson. Oh. And, of course, it's the same designer that Kyle Richards got a passive-aggressive birthday gift for Lisa Vanderpump.
Okay, so it's date night with Leanne and Rich. Now, the way they shoot this scene is so funny because they show them ordering drinks, and she gets a margarita, and he gets a Diet Coke. But by the end of the scene, he is drunk. He's, like, falling over drunk. Like, what? Yeah. How long have you guys been there?
He is, yeah, and like, I feel like his shirt just keeps on unbuttoning and revealing like three different layers of undershirts. It's like, they're so, I just feel like all I see is undershirts. So, yeah, so it starts off sort of romantically. He's like, I remember the first night you and I were together, and I sat down on that couch and I said, at least I get one day with her. One day I got one day with this princess, and regretted it ever since. Am I right? Am I right?
She's like, we met online, and I was like, he's hot, so I opened that door. Then I smelled my breath, and I thought, did I brush my teeth? Do I have panties on? Do I have granny panties on? I got hands. So they start talking like they've never done this scene before, okay? We've seen you guys have this exact same conversation 5 times. Remember when we met online? Yeah, and I thought you were the prettiest girl on that cash land. So he just keeps getting drunker and drunker, and they tell a story of... when they got home, that Rich said, we are not having sex on this first date. And she goes, so what that meant to me was zip it down, take it out, and stick it in. And I was like, well, there you go. You've written your vows. Done.
And afterwards, I threw a ring on it and won myself a stuffed animal. She goes,
I told him to aim it, squirt it, and wait till the balloon popped if he wanted to win something.
Remember the first question you asked me in bed? You said, have you ever cheated on a boyfriend? And he goes, yep, and you said you've cheated on every single boyfriend. Okay, bad start. That's right. And then he goes, but you know what, though? For someone who said that they've cheated on every boyfriend, but you don't want to cheat on me, that's something that even a cop believes. I was like, that sounds like the worst cover story in the world.
Yeah. So then, yeah, they talk about fucking and stuff. And then they talk. She's like, I know that little girls dream of being married, but I never even had that dream. I never even had that dream.
You know what my dream was? My dream was trying to down an entire bottle of Yoo-Hoo at the top of the Ferris wheel before it came back down again. That was my dream.
I wore it like a blanket. I wore that dream like a blanket.
So then she goes, I know that I'm going to be the first Cinderella from Dallas, which is, again, textbook melodrama that I love that Dallas gives me.
Yeah. Also, have you seen Stephanie's house? Have you seen blonde Stephanie's house in the ball gown over there? You know, she's the one talking to birds. Like,
literally. Yeah, she literally has bluebirds in her bathroom that she pays.
So Leanne's like, where do you see us in 5 years, Rich? And he's like, in divorce court, thinking, God, when did she get so mean? It's like, oh, God, I've already been that mean, Rich.
I've already been that mean. No. Also, by the way, could you imagine Leanne with a glass slipper? That would not work out well.
I know.
What the hell is wrong with this slipper? It's glass? That's not comfortable. I have a hard enough time with the Louboutins. Last thing I need is glass. Oh, great. Now I broke it. Now I'm bleeding. Oh, guess what? Now I got those red soles.
She's, like, stabbing her opponents with it. It's like Cinderella when she finally, like, just slits the throats of the stepsisters, you know, with her glass slipper.
Yeah, exactly. The real story.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a...
Get ready for Brexit on the 31st of October. Brexit will bring changes that affect businesses in many ways, particularly if you buy from EU suppliers, sell to EU customers, provide services to EU clients, and receive customer data from other businesses in the EU. Businesses need to prepare. Find out how at gov.uk/Brexit. Get ready for Brexit on the 31st of October.
Crappin's commercial.
So now we go over to a restaurant where Leanne and Deandra are going to have their summit. And so Leanne sits down there and she gets a glass of wine. And then Deandra comes in wearing this crazy outfit with like a million ruffles on the lapel. It looked like she'd gathered a bunch of brown paper bags and just pinned them to her neck.
Well, you know how they were like, oh, look, we're so open now in America. We're going to let homosexuals serve in the army now. You know why they did that? Because they were running out of fucking people. Okay, that's why they let gay people serve. Sorry, and thank you, gay people, for serving. I'm proud of our country, etc. But my point is, they finally started putting clowns in the military. That was like a khaki military uniform with clown ruffles. It's like, Deandra, you're not that poor. Come on.
It chapter 3. It has a drink with Leanne.
Yeah, it chapter 3 in Iraq.
It's like, I thought I was supposed to be the manifestation of your fears, but somehow I got enlisted.
Your fears are khaki.
It's like, I always worried about other people's fears, but I never thought about what my fear was. It's Leanne.
They're so passive aggressive with each other, and I love it because you could tell they really have been like frenemies forever. Because Deandra comes in, and Leanne doesn't even look up; she's just like looking at her phone, you know, like pretending she's like cloning the squirrel system at the restaurant or whatever. And Deandra comes in, and she's like, "Hello, having champagne already?"
Actually, it's rosé. Oh, okay, that's lovely. Okay. So she's like, well, I just want to have a conversation away from everyone else because just wanted to air it out between you and me. And then the waiter comes over. He's like, can I get you anything to drink? Or he comes to pour the wine. She's like, well, last thing I need is another person to get in the middle of you and I's relationship. Am I right? Am I right? Chatty gays. Chatty gay waiters.
The entire town's already involved.
I mean, don't think I don't see your crazy florist over there in the corner with his bucket hat and the camera inside it, all right?
Yeah, waiters are not having the best episode today. There's a lot of waiter abuse on this episode of Dallas. So Leanne orders burrata, and Deandra orders a meat and cheese tray, which I don't know why I found that so interesting, but other show they order salmon Caesar salad.
Yeah, burrata had a big night tonight. This is the first of two times it was ordered. So yeah,
I'm so proud of you, Barada. Barada, like, you've come so far.
Yeah, Barada, really, you know, we're going to be throwing you a roast next time.
Yeah. Congratulations, mozzarella, on finally getting wet.
Well, this is the news. Turns out that Mother has taken away the company from me and given it to some Barada. So there you go.
And it actually turned a profit. Can you believe that, Mother?
I love burrata on a taco salad.
The first time I met burrata was when I was at Leanne's house for a taco salad. So Leanne's like, well, I was thinking the other day, after we were talking at that little friend party, and you were saying something about my wedding. Do you remember that? And Deandra's just like, she's like, well, I thought that wedding might not have existed had I not had the foundation with my fiance that I have. And I am hurt, and I am angry, and I just want you to know where I truly am.
And you know what? I appreciate your honesty, Mother. And by the way, before we go any further, you got this lunch, right?
It's like, because if you don't, I can eat the gum in my purse. Just tell me now, Mother. So it's like, well, I appreciate that. I do not want to rehash the past. And I just want to own up to what I did. Because good friends do not do things like what I did.
But they both are talking so evilly to each other.
Because let's face it, Deandra learned how to apologize from her mother, okay? And her mother is the queen of the not real apology that somehow gets under your skin.
Yeah. So Leanne's like, well, here's what I need you to say. I need you to say, I never should have brought Rich into the conversation. I never should have said Rich was cheating. I never should have stolen my hair. I never should have even gotten on this show. Who do you think? She has like this huge fucking list for Deandra. And Deandra's just looking at her like she's about to blow.
Yeah. And Deandra's like, well, I can't say, Mother, that Rich never cheated because that's the truth that I know. So what else am I supposed to say, Mother? So she's like, well, Leanne, I apologize for what I did. And I should not have gotten into your relationship, especially as the queen bee of this group that was far beneath me. So I am sorry that I ruined my duties in that way as Queen Bee. And friends don't do that. And Queen Bees don't do that to peons. So I apologize for that.
It's like, well, actions have to follow words. And it was 2 weeks after that meeting and I still hadn't heard from you. It's like,
but you said you wanted baby steps, Mother. So I gave you steps. These are small steps.
Yeah. And she's just trying to, they're both stay, like Leanne's going for it, but Deandra's just like, I'm going to stay calm. I'm not going to fight because now the storyline is my husband cheating, you know? So she's like, you better shut the fuck up. Now I'm poor and my husband's cheating. So what do I do? Right. So she just says, takes it.
And she goes, listen, I'm sorry I said something about Rich not being faithful and let's move on. Is that what you want me to say? And Leanne's like, yeah.
She goes, well, I'm putting the volleyball in your court, okay?
That was a very specific reference, that metaphor. She's like, I'm not just putting a ball in your court. I'm putting a volleyball, okay?
So you can do not let the volleyball fall, Deandra.
Do not let that volleyball sail away, okay? Because that is your only friend in this town.
So she's like, well, okay, well, volleyball, okay, well, boom. I'd love for you to come over to my birthday party. It's going to be a roast. You should love that. You should love that. It'll be a roast.
And Leanne's like, well, I'm going to go, but we all know it's not going to be a roast, okay? It's going to be people blowing smoke up her ass.
So then Deandra's like, Deandra gets another dick in there. She goes,
have you written your vows yet?
Well, Rich wrote his.
Well, have you talked to your mother?
Which she knows that Leanne doesn't speak with her mother. Like, she knows that relationship's not good. So Leanne goes, well, no, because I don't have the same relationship with my mother. She doesn't have financial hold over me, so I don't have to grovel.
If you just hear the soundtrack do, like, a Top Chef, shwing! Like, I thought Padma was just going to come over to the table and say, did you mean to burn her to her core?
Did you mean to roast both of your mothers in this passive-aggressive conversation? And Deandra looks so mad.
And she goes, hi, I have a message from the other table. My dear friend Gail Simmons wants to know if you're done with your burrata yet and if she can have it.
Hi, my dear friend Gail Simmons is asking for her shirt back, Deandra. That would be great.
Hi, my good friend Gail Simmons wants to know all the details about the roast. What sort of meats will be involved? Thanks.
And Tom Colicchio is just like, well, you know, the one thing you said about her mother, that was cool. But then the one you said about her mother, that's actually current. So, you know what? I'm going to have to go with the current joke. And I'm going to hand that one to you, Leanne. Good job. Yeah. Good job.
You know. I mean, I think it's a good thing that Leanne, your mother, doesn't have a financial hold over you. You know, sometimes I dream of the day that I don't have to have a financial hold over my son, who chose a path as a mixologist, even though his father's a world-class chef. Hey,
you're both total idiots, but you know what? At least you're better than my son. So he's actually over there making your drinks. Hey. So Dandra gets so mad. She's like, well, actually, the company is mine. It's all of mine, fully mine. Okay? There's nothing to buy for my mother. So there's no financial hold. There's nothing there. And she goes, oh, really? So you're not paying for that Bentley anymore? She's like, no. And you're not paying for the housekeepers?
No.
And you're not paying for the country club? She's like, no. She took it off the payroll and the country club. She's like, oh, the country club is off the payroll.
And Deandra is just staring at her like, fuck you, bitch. Fuck you. My mother already checkmated me, and now you're doing it too, and I will not have this. I will not have this.
Is there anything else
we need to talk about? And then at that time, they put up a thing on the bottom that said, like, coming soon to on NBC. Perfect Harmony. I was like, not on this show.
Yeah, they need the ABC one. Emergence.
Or the CBS one that just says evil.
So they are so hating each other, and I'm loving it. I remember last season I was really upset when they fought. I was like, no, I want them to be friends. And this season I'm like, no, this is perfect. Because Deandra goes,
well, do we have anything else to say, Mother? Well, glad we did this. I feel much better. Cheers to the last bit of alcohol we've got.
The last bit of alcohol, also known as friendship. So eat your burrata, fatty. Now we go over to Carrie and her husband Eduardo going over to a restaurant. I think they go to a restaurant called Crew, which, if I'm not mistaken, is the restaurant that I seem to only see at airports and apparently also in Dallas. Mm-hmm. So they go to this restaurant and Carrie orders burrata, back-to-back burrata scenes. We thought this was going to be the taco salad episode, but burrata.
Burrata is the new core water. Like, burrata is sitting around at home watching this with a whole family of cheeses.
Yeah, burrata is really just like, burrata is the Hillary Swank of cheese right now. Like, two-time winner.
Burrata just forgot to thank her husband, Mozzarella.
I'd like to thank Cheddar. I'd like to thank Gouda, Edam.
I mean, even Swiss, you know what? We had problems there for a while, but you know what? Even you, Holy, with your
Your holes. And you know what? And Gruyere, like I always say, you go, Gruyere, girl. No, so good. I learned so much. And, you know, most of all, I want to thank American, actually. You may be pasteurized, but you're still cheese. Thank you.
Mozzarella's over crying in a corner like, I can take it. This isn't going to lead to divorce at all. So speaking of leading to divorce, Carrie's a monster, and I love it. What great casting.
Yeah, they have. So Carrie and Eduardo have a scene. So in my mind, the scene was like very quick and very intense, and I barely can remember anything that happened, even though I wrote down everything that happened.
It was just like hard. Yeah, it was rough. Okay, so they sit down. She's like, well, it's so nice to have this date night together. You know, it's very nice that we're paying attention to each other. You know, she's automatically kind of going for him. First, she tells him that she had lunch with her daughter who's about to go over to college. And so we see the clip of that lunch, and she's like, are you excited to go to college, honey? And she goes, yes, to get out of here. So she's talking about that. And then the waitress comes over, and she's like, well, we have some specials tonight. She goes, oh, no, we want to have some appetizers, so we'll have this and this. So she doesn't let her read the specials.
Yeah.
And so she goes, okay, and what will you have for dinner? She's like, no, we'll have the appetizers.
And Warho's like, but what about the entrees? We're not going to have appetizer? We're not going to start with appetizer? Why don't we have appetizer first and then talk about the entrees?
And the waitress is standing by the husband, and she's just looking at the husband like, what do I do? You know, I'm being bossed around. What do I do? And he goes,
and the music,
okay.
Yeah. And the music was so tense, and I was like sitting there like this. I was like, why am I so tense about this entree appetizer situation?
Because she's being such a bitch, and she's doing it like to her husband and the waiter who doesn't deserve it, that poor waitress. So she's like, okay, I'll come back later. She goes, good. And then she's like, what? I hate when they do that. We can't have the appetizers. We have to have the dinner too.
I'm like, that's usually the way it works, at least.
You're about to start fighting with a fucking waitress, okay? You are perfect. You're hired forever.
But then Eduardo is also being crazy because Carrie is saying how Olivia going to college, they have like an app where you get to like pick your roommate for college or whatever. And he's like, what? You get to pick your roommate for people she doesn't even know? She's like, that's how college works. No one knows anyone in college. And it's just like, it was just so tense so quickly over nothing. I like that.
Yeah, and he's like, well, honey, you know, it doesn't have to be this big of a deal. She's like, you're the one saying that she's going to be with the stranger. Oh, this is so fun being out with you for date night. I'm like, what is going on with this couple?
Yeah. And so then now Carrie starts saying, so, you know, like how I was saying, you know how Deandra's like 50th birthday is coming up. So I was thinking that we could invite the girls down to the house in Carias, you know, and like it'd be like really fun and everything. He's like, okay, cool. Like, can I order an entree now? Or like we just.
She goes, marriage is so stupid. Like, who even invented marriage? You better try harder next time. This next year, you better be very nice. And he goes, oh, hon, you're kind of difficult sometimes. And she goes, oh, yes, it's always my fault. He's like, well, you, babe, you're kind of in your own universe on that one, okay?
Well, at least in my universe, we have apps before we have entrees, okay?
Yeah, a universe where people aren't shoving food down your face. Yeah, so now, the last line is, you want to hear the specials now?
Yeah. He's like, please, just want to know. So now we go over to Deandra getting her makeup done for her big roast. So she's got gaze and stuff. And then Brandy and Stephanie are, and Travis are pre-gaming also. And Stephanie is like really worried that she is going to mess up her roast because like she doesn't like speaking in public. And that's she's afraid she's really just going to be terrible. But Brandy practiced hers for 2 hours straight in the shower.
And then I felt a surge of pride in my heart when they got to this part in the car. They all get in with their husbands. And they start making fun of each other's laughs, how they laugh. Like, we've done on this fucking show now for 3 years, and I love it. We've always called them Beavis and Butthead, and they gave them a Beavis and Butthead moment!
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Which I know has nothing to do with us, but it still makes me so proud as a fan to see that. I'm like, guys, they are Beavis and Butthead. They are.
We feel seen.
Yeah.
So then we go over to the venue, and you know, one of the great benefits of this show is that we get a sneak peek into the world of Dallas gays, which are really a whole special subset gay culture. Like really, like paisley colors, shapes, proportions, everything is like a little wacky. And
I met a kid from Dallas, just a real quickie, but I met a friend from Dallas. Oh, no, I didn't have a quickie, but just a quick story. Who is friends of my cousin or cousins of my cousin. And he's gay, and he came here, and he had a really tough time because he came up in a very conservative family in Texas. And so, you know, I did too, so we talked about that. And I was like, but Dallas? I said, I haven't seen much of the gay Dallas scene, but what I've seen has been the gayest shit I've ever seen in my life. And I'm a 44-year-old, very out-of-the-closet gay man. Like, that is some gay shit. Gay. I mean, that is some gay, like, big gallon pink... Pink felt, what was it? Light blue felt gallon hat.
Yeah, so basically there was this guy who we later found out was Deandra's florist, and he is wearing this. It looks like, you know what it looked like? An earplug. It looked like a giant powder blue earplug. It was like this tall gallon hat thing that was like round on the top. It was like like a bowler, but that was like a tall bowler hat or something like that. And then his hair was flat ironed, and he was wearing this like white button-down shirt that had these blue... stripes, but they weren't stripes. I don't know if it was like hair or like cascading, whatever it was just garish and crazy.
It just makes me so proud as a Texan to see that much gayness. You go, gay community of Dallas. I'm proud of you. I stand for you. And also, just as a Housewives fan, it is amazing seeing somebody compete with the gays of Dallas. I mean, of Atlanta.
Yeah. Yes. Well
observed. So you go. Stand up, world.
So then Jeremy and Deandra walk in, and he starts grabbing her butt, but he's like up and in there.
He's like up fingering her butt.
Yeah, Jeremy, he is like, he's like looking for like the emergency button for like a trapdoor in there. I don't know. It was like and up.
I hate when they do that shit. And he's like, yeah, that's a 50-year-old butt right there. I'm like, is that supposed to be a compliment, person bringing a box of donuts for your rich-ass wife?
Yeah, exactly. So
I'm mad at Jeremy because I believe whenever I hear a cheating rumor, I believe them because I believe that you should always believe in the lowest rumor you hear because it's usually the truest one. And so now I hate Jeremy. Sorry. I know it's not fair, but I'm mad at him for cheating on Deandra.
And I also would like to find out who Pretty Jessica is. So Mama D is like, Lord help me. I have not been in a nightclub in a long time. I do not like to hang out with Satan's children. Am I right? Am I right? I guess I've been too busy running a business, Deandra.
So she's like, Deandra, we need to have a talk for a second. I need to have a chat with you. And she's like,
oh God, what is this, mother? Am I on the hot seat? She goes, what's that? What's that, Dandra? What's that? Hot seat.
So she sits up real straight and says, Dandra, I just wanted to say you are a lovely girl, and I'm so excited to be here to celebrate your 50th birthday with you. Thank you so much, honey. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And like I always say, don't give a rip about what other people say about you. They may say that you're not the real queen bee. They may say that you're stealing Leanne's look. They may say that you're crazy, a crazy person. They may say that you never should have pushed your mother out of the business she worked hard to build after all these years. And they may say you're not equipped to take it out of the hole that your mother put it in intentionally, passive-aggressively towards you. But you say, I do not give a rip.
You say, I do not give a rip. And then you stand up there and you look like a pretty Jessica. That's what you give them. So Dandra's like, oh, and thank you, mother. Thank you so much for the party. Because of course, of course, of course. So she's like, thank you. Thank you so, mother. Thank you so much, mother, for this party. It's so beautiful. And then she tells us, she's like, I mean, I like the party and everything. It's really nice, but it would be nice. I'd rather have access to my trust fund. I mean, that would be better. I mean, I'm upset. Yeah. I'm upset.
Like, you are such a brat. And so I cannot believe you're saying this shit on national TV. I cannot wait to see Mama D's Revenge next season.
Seriously. Seriously. So now there's like more Dallas gaze. Just like, it's just like colors and patterns.
Did you? It's a blizzard, if you will.
Well, yes, because then, yes, I was going to say, like we see Stephanie walking in. Stephanie looks like my junior prom, which I love. Carrie comes in and she invites everyone to Mexico. They're like, yeah. And of course, everyone's like, yeah, sure. Yeah, of course. Yeah, what a great idea. As if they, you know, like production had already told them that they're going to Mexico next week. And then Cameron walks in and that's when we see John Blizzard himself making a crossover appearance on Real Housewives of Dallas.
Yeah, he's everywhere, that guy. Thirsty. Hope you got some punch.
Yeah, seriously.
So he's there, and Cameron's like, happy birthday, girl. Taco salad to you.
Taco salad to you. Taco salad at the Global Pet Expo. Taco salad to you, girl.
She's like, I love Girls Trips. I'm like, por favor, uno mas margarita mujer.
I am like the queen of the Girls Trips. Like, donde esta margarita? That's what I learned on Taco Salad Day.
So Dandra gets the microphone. She's like, everyone shut up. Mother, that means you. Because Mama Dude's like, hello.
Dee just gives her this stink eye from across the nightclub. It's like, it's bad enough you take me into this space with all the heathens, and now you gotta call me out.
She just like whips out her cell phone and changes the PIN number on all the accounts immediately.
Yeah, little do you know that Amelia's giving me money under the table to pay for my Bentley and the country clubs. So Stephanie's up to roast Deandra first, and she gets up there and she's like, Deandra, I was really nervous to do this. Because my biggest fear in life is getting on stage and the crowd being dead and by the looks of the room, most of you already are dead. Dead people. I see dead people. I see taco salads coming at me.
I just see taco salads in glitter jackets coming straight for me. So, Dandra, I knew that when you were going to come to Dallas, like you were going to bring class and sophistication to my friend group and money. And boy, was I wrong.
And Mama D is like, good one. Burn. Everyone, that was a good. Did someone record that? Can we put that on social media? Okay, I like that. I like that, Stephanie. She's a truth teller, isn't she?
There ain't nothing like a poor roast.
You know, one thing that I love is that how we get to sit home and like hang out while our spouses work hard to support our lifestyle. I'm not talking about you, Andrew. I'm talking to Jeremy. I was like,
she was really funny, and everyone was cracking up. And then no one else really did a good one. Leanne comes in the back, you know, she like comes in the back, and did you see she stops to kind of look around, and there's this old queen standing next to her, and he goes like this, like gave her a triple look up and down, and then turned away.
Yeah, he was momentarily captivated by her Linfinity dress. He's like, I don't know where it begins or where it ends.
What, like, that girl just in a miniskirt?
Wait a second, there's a cape now. Wait, and a glove. So Leanne enters, and then we get like the best new game show that Bravo has ever premiered called Not a Roast.
Not a Roast. That, not a roast.
It's like her Jeff Foxworthy like routine. So everyone gets up to give a roast. First of all, you know this party is terrible because if you have everyone giving a roast, especially if they're like not all roasts, it probably just goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
So Steve the florist, the guy with the periwinkle bucket hat, periwinkle, he's like, she might be the queen bee to you, but she's a fucking Wonder Woman to me, baby. And everyone's like,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden, not a roast.
And then like the assistant gets up and she's like, you know what, like after 3 weeks I was like, this isn't just my boss, she's a friend. Cut to Leanne, also not a roast.
This has been I hope you enjoyed your flight, and I encourage you to fly again on Not a Roast Airlines. Then a lady's like, on the day I met Deandra, I fell in love. Not a roast.
Not a roast.
Not a roast.
Not a roast.
Nope. Let's see. Oh, I got some mail. Let's see what's in here. I'll tell you what's not in here. A roast.
Hey, waitress, can I have your top shelf not a roast? That would be great.
Hey, is it already 12 o'clock? No. Oh, I guess it's not a roast o'clock.
The Barada gets on stage. It's like, I really like being eaten by Deandra. Not a roast, Barada, you loser.
Not a roast.
Not a roast.
Not a roast. Not a roast. Move it along. And then Carrie gets on there and goes, I love you so much. I love hanging out with you. Even though sometimes your hair can curl a little bit. Not a roast. Not a roast.
So then when Carrie comes back to the group, Leanne goes, that wasn't a roast. And she goes, but I did that bit about the hair.
Not a roast.
Not a roast.
Not a roast.
So Brandy did kind of a good one. She's like,
she's older and wiser, and she finally found her voice. And it's Mama D's. I don't give a rip.
And what else did she say? I didn't understand this whole thing.
She said, I'm changing the name of the company from Hard Naked Morning to Hard Sell Good Riddance.
No, that was a roast. That was a roast. Not a good one, but it was a roast.
It was a roast because she's my friend currently. So that was a current roast.
That was a current. That was a friend. It was a roast.
It was a roast. But I reserve the right to take that it was a roast judgment back if I get fucked over by saying
it is a roast pending review.
Pending roast.
Pending roast. Pending roast. Okay. All right. So Leanne's like, well, I would like to speak. And then it cuts to a gay guy going, like Deandra Spanx, I will be there for you. Not a goddamn roast. And then another guy goes, I love playing referee between you and your mother. And Mama D goes, well, he has to because he handles all our money. Yeah. By our money, I mean my money.
So then we get Jeremy coming up with this big box, and it's the same wrapping paper that the Hamburglar wears, which I was already like, Jeremy, you really need to... Jeremy, there's cheating rumors, okay? There's Pretty Jessica. You better have found a way to squeeze some coal in your cornhole into a diamond, because you got to pull something big out here.
Yeah.
He gives her 50 donuts.
Yeah, he gets up there, and he has this whole thing. Well, he goes... First of all, he goes, Deandra has an insatiable love for food. She's like, and it's like, not a roast, but it is an egg, so I will accept it.
That's so, an egg.
And then Cam but the best part
half
is
when he goes, point.
Did you notice that when Jeremy says Deandra has an insatiable love for food, Cameron goes, I love you too. Have you ever had a taco salad? Not a roast, Cam. Not a roast. She's a roaster in training.
He's like, my wife loves donuts. Now there's 50 things in this box. And all the girls are like, oh no. Cameron's like, if my husband gave me 50 donuts on my birthday, I'd be pissed.
Not a roast, but an interesting comment. So,
and Stephanie's so, like, 50 cars, 50 diamonds, 50 dresses, 50 taco salads.
Wow, that's, I love that Christmas carol. I didn't know it got up that high. 50 donuts in a box, 49 taco salads, 48 burratas. What's the rest?
47 Jessica.
40 Andra donuts in her mouth at one time, and a partridge that Deandra just ate.
He almost made me cough up my lungs.
So the thing is this, when Jeremy said, he goes, well, I got her 45
not
shitty donuts.
Five
good donuts. And I was thinking in my mind, it's going to be like 45 donuts and then like a ring or something. Because like donut, you know, like, right. And it's a donut. Check it out. A very small one that fits on her finger. He got her donuts.
He got her fucking donuts. And I think Deandra thought, like you did, that there was a ring in one of them, because she just started eating half of every donut. She just started shoving them in her mouth, like seeing if there was something in the donuts. And her friends were just like, oh my God. And Deandra goes, if it's not edible or glued down, she shoves it in her mouth.
Ha, that was good. I think we could become friends, Leanne. Did you mean to have such a withering attack? That's what I call a rose. Yeah. No, it's a term, Gail. There's no pork.
Oh, my God. So.
So now, like,
it's sad, basically. It's very sad.
So Deandra is, like, desperately seeking out, like, anything in one of these donuts. And so then now it's time for Leanne to come up on stage. And the assistant tells Deandra, who has, like, five different donuts in her mouth, the good and the bad kind, that, like, Leanne wants to talk. And Deandra's like, great, fine, send her up. So Leanne comes walking up the stage, and a guy goes, be nice, Leanne. And she goes, bite my dick. Roast.
Roast.
Speculator. Roast.
Oh, so she gets up there and it's like, I am here. Are you shocked? You invited me. And I was like, oh God, what's going to happen? I actually felt really tense. I was like, oh God.
Because it would have not been right for Leanne to roast, because they're not like there yet. And I was afraid she was just going to just not stick this landing. So she goes, well, it's your 50th birthday, as evidenced by the memories of the 50 donuts that were here 10 seconds ago. I remember when I turned 50, and it sucked. So welcome to the party. Roast example.
But no one's laughing because they know that they hate each other. And Deandra goes, it doesn't suck. It's fun. It's fun. It's fun, mother. It's fun. I'm turning 50. It's fun.
Yeah. Well, you and I have been on a long journey together, although apparently I was the only one who burned any carbs off that. Anyway, we have loved and lost. And I was by your side when you married Jeremy before he met pretty Jessica. And I know that we have fallen along our way, mainly you. But I want you to know that I'm taking steps forward to you. And that's all that I'm interested in right now. Not a roast.
And Jeremy, who is so bitter, he looks so pissed off and bitter. He's watching this thing like he's watching a sports game. You know, like when guys watch sports and their team's losing, they're like chomping on chew. He looks just pissed. He goes, then prove it.
Like, not a fucking roast.
She's like, I brought you two candles from the dollar store. One is Santa Maria, hoping that you won't betray her again. And another is Jesus, hoping that you won't crucify him again. So just light one in whichever order you'd like.
She's like, I'll order it in, first I'll burn a donut, and then I'll burn a donut. Because that was the most romantic gift I've ever been given, mother!
And I just want to clarify that just because the candle is on fire, this is not a roast.
So she's like, well, I will choose hope and then forgiveness. And then everyone claps and they hug. And Jeremy just shrugs all bitter.
And then for some reason, the florist with the hat just like is like right there next to them. I'm like, what are you doing up there? You're the florist. Why are you even at this party?
Yeah, and I'm loving this because this is basically, now we're discovering, a husband fight, right? Because guys have, like, their guy talk. Well, they'll say things to each other, but you're not supposed to go home and tell the wife, right? So yeah. Jeremy probably told Deandra that Rich was flirting or doing whatever out on the town. And then we saw last week when Rich got pissed off with his text back at Jeremy that he's like, well, if you're going to tell my secrets, I'll tell your fucking secrets. So it's being played out with the women, but it's really the guys. And it's pretty interesting.
It's so good. This show is so good. I really hope that those ratings were just like overnights and that like that it gets a big bump with, you know, DVR viewings, because that does happen. I just think it's such a good show. This is everything that Housewives should be. Yeah. You know, it's camp, it's melodrama, it's scandal, it's fighting, it's petty, it's taco salads, it's everything I want.
And we've got two Housewives shows right now that are the smaller of the Housewives shows, Potomac and this one, that are just both killing
it. Or newer,
it.
At least. Yeah.
Yeah, newer. But they're just killing it. They're doing so, so well. And even Orange County is doing really well. Because, you know, a lot of times people ask, like, well, what do you do when the Housewives are over? Go back to work? You know, like, wait tables again? And I'm like, the Housewives are never going to end. I mean, there's always going to be something to make fun of. But, you know, you always think of that because they've been around for so long. But, man, this show is – they're all doing really well right now in my eyes. So, watch people.
OC's back. New York is just permanently a legend. And – even New Jersey has become like must-watch TV. Like it hit the bottom of the barrel, and it has come back. It has clawed its way back to being just like excellent.
Yeah,
really
it.
Only Atlanta and Beverly Hills are the only ones that are really flagging right now, if you ask me.
Yeah. Yeah, Beverly Hills has a long way to go, but Atlanta will pop right back, I think.
Yeah, Atlanta just needs some calibrations. Yeah. And well, I'm sure Atlanta will probably be back in October or November, and same in New Jersey. So we have plenty of stuff to look forward to. And but in the meantime, if you only listen to our recaps but don't actually watch Dallas, or you think that Dallas is boring for whatever reason, I just can't encourage you enough to go watch it and try to see it through our eyes, and maybe you will like see what we're seeing, because we're seeing amazing stuff. And I would feel bad. I feel like you are deprived if you're not getting to see it the way we see it.
Yeah, spread that gospel, baby. We love you guys. We will talk to you next time. Go get your tickets and all the videos and all that good stuff over at watchwhatcrappens.com. Talk to you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Enjoy brilliant sound your way on Sonos. Play a movie in your living room, a podcast in your bedroom, and music in the kitchen. Then take the sound outside to your garden. Listen to what you want, where you want, how you want, with a Sonos sound system created by you. Discover more at Sonos.com.
Get ready for Brexit on the 31st of October. Brexit will bring changes that affect businesses in many ways. Particularly if you buy from EU suppliers, sell to EU customers, provide services to EU clients, and receive customer data from other businesses in the EU. Businesses need to prepare. Find out how at gov.uk/Brexit. Get ready for Brexit on the 31st of October.